broadcasting live from our Fort Recovery Radio studios located in downtown historic Fort Recovery. You're listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, which is powered by Wayne Street Market in historic Fort Recovery. Without further ado, here's your host and co-host, Mr. Bob Sogler and Mr. Harold Feely on Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee.
Hey, we're here Wednesday night, 8:19. Not too bad, Jack.
Bubba's not here.
Bob got us on time. We got no Bubba tonight.
No Bubba.
This will be a great show.
Should be a great show.
Yeah. Not to worry about Bubba.
A show without Bubba is like a day without sunshine, Neil.
No sun, baby.
Okay.
We got to have him.
Yes, sir.
Well, he might still show up. You never know. He's at a meeting in Van Wert, so.
Well, let's see. Van Wert.
He told me an hour ago.
So yep. So that's 25-minute drive for Bubba.
Yep, about 20, 25. Flying across the old blue bomb going under. 120.
So is there much going on?
No. Baseball.
Yep, baseball, softball. Both have done pretty well. I think they're second and third place. Doing okay in our leagues. Not exactly what we were hoping for, but probably what we figured.
Yeah.
Lost to Coldwater.
Coldwater last night.
Yep. Yep. Left some runners on base and
only gave up four runs, so
yeah.
That was a positive, but
yep.
Couldn't score a run.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a big hit.
Kind of like against Versailles week before.
Exactly, yeah.
We left runners on base and
10 runners on base and
couldn't get them in.
Couldn't get a run on the board.
I think we had, I don't remember exactly what copy had, and I could probably look at the book, but I think we left six runners on base and scored no runs. They left three runners on base, I think. So when they had their runners on,
they got the big hit.
Get them on, get them over, get them in.
Get that big hit.
We just can't do that. Just not happening right now.
Yeah. Somehow we got to get that big hit.
Yep.
We just ain't finding it yet.
Yep. So we're doing well. Our batters are putting the bat on the ball. They're doing well. A lot of times, some games, they just all drop in, and some days they all go right straight at somebody.
That's baseball.
Bad. They could be the Reds.
That's bad baseball.
The Reds lost 10-0 last night and 8-0 this afternoon.
Yeah, they went to the first game and they beat them 8-1.
Yeah,
and then it was like, okay, now you made us mad, so we're gonna kill you the next two games.
That's the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they've played six games in a row that haven't been within six runs.
It would be run rules.
Yeah.
If there was a run rule in Major Leagues, we'd been run ruled four
twice.
Times.
Twice they've had to have position players finish the game.
Finish pitching. The game pitching. That's not a good sign.
That ain't good.
I seen they had a new kid today. His first start.
Yeah.
Gave up six runs in the first inning. Welcome to the Major Leagues.
Yeah. His name was Levi.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Levi.
So is that bad?
Well, he's Amish.
What?
Well, maybe not. I don't
know. Okay. Okay.
I mean, he's throwing a 75 mile an hour fastball to Major Leagues. It's not working out for him.
Boss is false.
Keep hitting the ball. Oh, shoot.
So, and softball, they're doing pretty decent. Great. Yeah, they're not bad.
Isn't that neat about the Guggenbiller?
Yes, it is.
Shout out to her, yep.
Yep.
Set the record.
Yeah. She has what now, 14, I think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Two more, yeah.
That is incredible.
I like it. I like it.
That's tremendous.
She's a good, strong girl, and you know, is that Daryl's daughter? And I remember her when Daryl used to play softball years ago. She was a little kid running around down there. She
picked something up.
Yeah, she likes the game, and I'm going to say somewhere along the line she learned to play.
Dad probably pitched her the ball a few times, maybe.
She learned how to play baseball, and now she's moved that over to the softball field, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
So, did Kelsey play softball?
No, she ran track.
Yep. She must have watched you play softball.
I really wanted her to play softball.
I'll bet you did.
But.
I bet she'd have been good at it. It's a shame actually, that has to be at the same.
They were pretty decent in Pony League or whatever you call that at that age, because her and the pot cutter girl were both pitchers, and they were both pretty good pitchers, and neither one of them played high school. Ouch. But I think that at the time, I'm thinking Kelsey was boy crazy over that one of them boys.
Yeah.
Killed me. Killed me.
Yeah. I wouldn't mention names here.
Yeah.
Where she married and has,
yeah,
three had a couple little ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's I was just looking at Marion Local. We're playing them tomorrow mm-hmm. night, baseball. They have a senior, no juniors, and the entire rest of their team is sophomores and freshmen, baseball team.
Is that right?
No yeah. kidding. Yeah, so I thought, well, what are those guys doing? Oh, well, they have a really good track team.
Yeah.
They have because they obviously they have athletes over there. They're always great in football. Basketball, they're always competitive, bunch of athletes. They can't all be just sitting at home watching TV in the spring.
I'd say that's their worst sport. They let
yeah.
They kind of
yeah. And it has been that way for a long time.
Show up. And that's I think that was the main reason why Twaits came over here.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He was dedicated to baseball, and they weren't. You know, it was like I'm going somewhere. They want to play baseball.
Yeah, it's kind of an ugly stepsister.
Yeah.
They just kind of and that's okay. It'd be terrible if their other sports weren't any good, but they're good in. Mm-hmm. You know, every sport they have, volleyball, yeah. baseball, basketball, about football, everything is okay. So, and their track in the spring, you know, and I'm assuming their golf team's pretty good too, but track in the spring attracts those athletes. And that's, you know, I was just sitting there thinking, man, that's a shame. And I got thinking, got a heck of a track team. So
let them take a few lumps.
Yeah, I'd be fine.
So... how's Nick doing up there? Is he off to a decent start?
Actually, he started out fantastic. I think he struck out first six out of seven guys he faced, but then he got shelled the other night.
Is that right?
He got hit pretty good the other night. But
I think I saw, and I don't know if it was an older one, but I think they said he got his first win maybe yesterday or something.
He's about due again.
Yeah.
Pitch again. So.
He got his first win sometime.
Still,
I didn't look to see what
coming in off the bench.
So when like you guys talked to him, did you ask him, so do they give him certain things that they want him to, you know, work on, like
add
2 miles an hour on your fastball?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, that was their big thing, their velo. They wanted him to get, he's highest probably 93, 94.
Yeah, and
they really would like to see him 96, 95, yeah. 96. The big thing about that whole thing was his spin, the velocity of the ball.
Yep.
You know, I've never heard of it before, and all of a sudden they started showing it on TV, you know, the spin rate. Oh, spin rate's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it's incredible. I'm like, what the hell's that? But that was when they were recruiting him. They always talked about his spin rate's crazy, how good it is.
Really?
Yeah. And we played one night against St. Henry. There was two scouts there. This was college. As Coppy was back there watching, and it was a great game. And the kid from St. Henry, I can't remember what his name is, but he had a great curveball, and we couldn't hit him. And it was like Nick won the game, and it was 1-0 or 2-0 or something. It was a great game. He pitched great. And Coppy was talking to the scouts, and he's like, well, boy, you look at both guys today. And he looked at the St. Henry kid. He goes, there's a bunch of those kids. He says, but there's not very many of these. And he pointed
no
at Nick,
kidding.
And he said, no, there's a big difference there.
Huh.
But it had all to do with his spin rate at the time. But Nick, last year, he came, and when he was talking, he really was struggling with – he started seeing a psychologist or something.
Yeah,
and he said,
like a sports psychologist
yep. And he said, helped him immensely.
Yeah.
He said, you know, I got to the point where, you know, it would just break my heart when I'd give up a home run or give up a run. You know, I was like, But he said, now you just kind of – take it, you know, in stride and keep going. You know? And
well, you know what? You look at Hunter Green's first outing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first three innings, he struck out eight or whatever, and he had a pitch that he thought should have been a strike, and it wasn't, you know. And he walked the guy, and the next guy got a bloop single, and the next guy hit a three-run homer, and he's
and
toast.
And you pitch so good, but yet, you know, that just a little bit there.
Well, or, you know, you have it. You know, you have the confidence. You would throw that thing through a buttonhole, you know.
Yeah.
And then this happens and that happens, and pretty soon you lose all focus.
Yeah, it's incredible. Know? It's amazing how good. I mean, like, I've been watching. I kind of told him the other Saturday that I've been watching my brother Mike's grandson, and he's doing really well at Samford. But Samford's it's a smaller D1.
Yep.
It's in the Southern Conference or something, which is a smaller conference.
Yep.
But I mean, this kid's—he's as good as I've ever seen.
And, is that right?
And you know, there—and I seen like in his league, he's a freshman, but in his league, he's like eighth hitting. You know, and I'm thinking that's really, really good. But there's still eight kids that are better than him. Yeah. You know, I think, gosh. And then you think that's a small college. Yep. You know, now you're thinking about like the big boys come in. Yeah. Well, they played LSU.
LSU and
they played LSU and they had one hit each game. And like we were laughing because I was talking to his dad a little bit, and they were saying that, you know, well, when you go to them, like Samford, where he's at, you know, the kids that are throwing smoke are 91, 92, you know, and when they went and played at LSU, they were 97, 98. Yeah. He said, you know, that's a big difference.
Oh, my.
But,
well, and I'm sure they're controlled better. And
oh, yeah. They hit their spots, you know. You got to hit him. You got to really be good to hit him. It's pretty fun. He's on a 21-game hitting streak as a freshman.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That isn't too bad.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. I mean, I think he's having fun. He seems to be having fun. So,
do you have any trip planned for?
I would like to. I keep telling my wife. We tried to figure out. There is no closest.
Yeah.
About 7 hours is probably the closest he's going to get to Ohio.
Which will probably be someplace in Tennessee.
Unbelievable. Last year, they had a home-and-home with Toledo.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they played Toledo this weekend at their place, and then last year it was up here. I thought, that figures.
I mean,
so that means next year you get to go see them.
Well, I hope they would get it. Maybe they'll get another MAC school, which would be
cool. Oh, yeah, even one of those Michigan schools.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any problem doing that. But, yeah, we would like to go down to Birmingham. I got ESPN Plus. And I can watch all his games. You can watch any baseball game you want to.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I've been watching all his games, and they got a beautiful facility. I mean, it is really nice.
So where's that?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham.
Yeah, and it's Samford, S-A-M, you know, which, and I think they're leading, so far they're leading their league, so. But they have a tournament at the end. I'm sure that's probably one of them about like that. I don't know how the World Series of baseball works in college. You know, College World Series, I don't know if it's – I think if you win your league, you probably get in. But I don't, they ain't going to take very many teams from a small league like that, I wouldn't think. It would be like taking the same ones that when they go to the March Madness. You know, you get one of those schools that are allowed to come in, and that's it.
Yeah.
And you know, and some of them were either you won your league, but then if you didn't win your tournament, you're still out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you win your tournament, you're in. But if you win your league – No,
don't
want you. Shut out. But it'll be interesting to see. It'll be
no. What's his name?
It's Jaden Davis, and he's a lot of fun. He's just that quiet Southern boy that doesn't say nothing, you know. And I text him all the time. I try texting him, and he it's one letter.
Yeah,
no. I'm good. Thanks. That's it. It's like, hey, tell me something. What's going on?
So, how long has Mike, he went to Tennessee.
Yep.
So how long has he been down there? It seems like 15 years.
Oh, more than that.
Yeah, it's way more than that.
Oh, it's like 35, I think.
Yeah, see, I just, it doesn't seem like that long ago.
Tammy left when she was a senior. She graduated from Fort Recovery, and they left that year. And I think that was Joe Burns and them were all.
No, that's this kid's mom.
Actually, Jenny's the mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the younger one of the two. But, yeah, Jennifer's the mom. This is the way this kid is. And it kind of reminds me of Nick. Because, you know, watching Nick, we'd have an hour and a half practice, and he'd stay half hour, 45 minutes afterwards and do more stuff that they wanted him to do to be a pitcher. And this kid, since he's probably 12, his dad pitched to him every day.
Isn't that amazing?
And I mean, it was like hundreds of balls every day.
So his dad should have been a great pitcher by the end of that.
His dad.
His arm fell off.
His arm fell off, but he would do stuff. I mean, and Nathan's really good too. He's so smart with baseball and stuff. But he would do stuff with him, and he'd try to get him to hit the opposite way and stuff. He'd say, "Okay, I'm gonna pitch a whole bucket of balls to you. So every ball you hit on this side of the right field side of second base, I'll pick up. And every ball you hit on that side of base, you pick up." He said, "It's amazing how a guy will really work hard to hit the ball the other way. You don't want to pick up the ball."
That's awesome. That's a great idea.
Just neat little stuff like that that he'd tell me stuff, and I'm thinking, that's a great idea. But
that is. That's you know, especially to a younger kid, that's
it makes them learn how to go the other way.
Yeah.
Hit the ball the other way.
Give them some incentive to do something different. Yeah.
I need to. The only bad thing about Nick now, too, is it stinks him being a relief pitcher because you never know when he's going to pitch.
Yep.
Yeah.
He told me, you know, they put you on, I forget what, the one time we went up there, and he said, I'm on like a red light or something, that there's no way I'm pitching today.
Yep.
You know, but he said, and then I'll get to, you know, after 3 or 4 days, now I'm on the green light anytime. Yeah. I could pitch. So last year I called him, and he said, "Coach, I think I'm going to pitch tonight. I'm feeling really," and he did. We actually went up there. Kim and I went up there, and we had a great time watching him pitch, and he was tremendous. He really looked good that night. But
yeah, it's
so it's can you just call? Just go up there and get tickets.
I just went in there, she said, "Well, what seats do you want?" I said, "I want as close to that bullpen as I can get." I said, "I want to see the kids warming up." And she goes, "Well, I can put you in the front row if you want." I said, Perfect.
Yeah.
I sat right there, and every time he'd walk by me, he'd wave and go through, you know, and that's perfect. The first time we went up with the whole team, we went up, Coach Ike asked us to go, me and Jerry to go with him, and we went up, and he was fabulous. He brought all the kids down, and took pictures with them, and it was awesome.
You know, I saw, and he has to be thrilled, where the guaranteed pay for those guys, like, nearly tripled, I think I think they were getting paid, and I'm gonna be rolling these numbers, but like $16,000 to $18,000 a year.
That sounds about right.
And now it's like $52,000 to $54,000 a year.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's at least something to
plus he's got
live off of.
And he kind of told us last year too, Neil, remember, he was saying how he never knew, like when you go to spring training, he said it's kind of like the, remember the major leagues when they opened their lockers? They had that red thing. Oh, crap, I'm out of here. You know, he said, you didn't know. He said, all of a sudden you'd go in. He said he had 2 or 3 buddies that got cut.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, it seemed like they were doing good or fine or whatever, but he was like, they weren't good enough.
And I'll tell you what, at that level, there's probably a huge difference between somebody who's got Nick skills and are 22 years old. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's got Nick skills and 24 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they probably look at this as a...
Are you wasting time? Are we wasting time on him or not? You know, that. We'll come back and talk about it a little bit more. We're going to take a break, pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Spring is in the air, and so is the smell of great steaks on the grill. And Wayne IGA has everything you need for a great cookout. They have great prices on their nicely trimmed steak, ready to go in their grab-and-go meat case. T-bones and New York strips are $7.99 a pound. Angus ribeyes are only $9.99 a pound. Boneless, skinless chicken breasts are just $2.99 a pound. Boneless pork chops are $3.49 a pound. And their ground chuck is $4.29 a pound, bulk or patties. While you're there getting your grilling supplies, be sure to grab everything that goes with your cookout. Fresh vegetables, potato salad, macaroni salad, chips and dips, and how about a veggie or meat and cheese tray? And be sure to check out their large selection of wine and beer. Make Wayne IGA your headquarters for all your cookouts this year.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 has been an interesting business year, to say the least. Has your business experienced change within your operation? With the Fed increasing short-term rates several times this year, have you reached your mode or dashboard of operation? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action tailored specifically to your business needs. Because you deserve more than, this is what we have to offer when considering a financial institution. CSG Consulting, 419-852-4049, your partner in planning and making you first.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
Hey everyone, the Donald here, and I'll totally be at the Fort Recovery Harvest Jubilee in Fort Recovery, Ohio on June 17th. Be there and say hi to me. Please don't make me beg. I need the money.
You didn't believe that, did you? That's AI. It's not real, and it'll come for all of our jobs one day. But you know it is real. This is the first year of the Battleground Shootout, an 18-plus dodgeball tournament at the Fort Recovery Jubilee, June 17th. Gather a team of 6 to 8 and sign up at FortRecoveryJubilee.com/dodgeball. Only $30 a person. Also, follow the Battleground Shootout Dodgeball Tournament event page on Facebook for updates.
Hey, John Madden here, and I've come back from the grave to call play-by-play at the Battleground Shootout.
Again, AI, not real. Come on.
The Fort Recovery Athletic Department is giving you a great opportunity to save money on your Fort Recovery sports season tickets. All season passes for both adults and students for the 2023-2024 sports seasons will be drastically reduced now through April 28th. Head up to the high school office and they'll give you the details, but here's one example. For a family of five who would usually get two adult all-sport passes and three student all-sports passes, you can save $175 if you buy them before April 28th. So head up to the high school office and buy next year's season tickets before April 28th and save big.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Talk a little baseball. We're talking like little Nick Twaits.
Yeah.
Kind of neat. You
know, Jaden Davis.
Little Jaden Davis. Probably a lot of you don't know him, but he's, I do. He's pretty cool.
I hope maybe sometime your nephew will be somebody we're all going to say, hey. Yeah,
I'd love to interview him.
That's
sometime.
That's the guy that was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you what, when I first seen him, he was at Indianapolis. And there, you know, they got all them diamonds out there,
yeah,
and the ones at the Carmel area. It's just a beautiful facility out there. Well, he played on a team, a South team, that came up there, and they won it. They were good. And I watched, I think, I probably watched 6-8 games, and there was games going everywhere. And I seen one other kid hit a home run, and he hit 8.
Oh, my.
On the weekend.
No.
And I mean, he hit. And it was funny because he was at the one diamond, and he hit it on the other diamond. And the umpire is, like, trying to stop the game. He said, get that ball for that boy. And he goes, I got plenty. I said, he goes, you don't have to get that ball for me. I got plenty. I started laughing. I'm thinking, now, that kid's pretty good. He said, you don't get that home run ball. I got plenty. You know.
So what position does he play?
He played shortstop, and he pitches a little bit. But now he plays
shortstop. That's a pretty important.
Yeah, and they moved him. The kid that's at shortstop at Sanford is like a stud. He's a junior, and he's been there for 2 years. And he's ahead of him, so he's playing second base now. And he actually came up to Lima last year and played with the Locos.
That's right.
And they kind of put him at second base just to get him ready for that.
Prepare for
it. Yeah. It's kind of neat. And I'm sure the Mariners do the same thing, but like that head coach from Sanford would call up here to the coaches in Lima and say, this is what I want out of this kid, you know, and I really want him to do this and want him to do that.
You get him to hit opposite field or whatever.
Yeah, stuff that this is what we really want to see him be able to do. And I think they did a pretty good job with him. I mean, he did really well up here.
So is he planning on doing anything in the summer?
Yeah, he is going to, I think Virginia has a pretty good league there.
Kind of
a
similar
summer league.
Type
yeah,
thing.
Same as up here.
Yep.
But just a little bit higher level, I think. And then he's hoping the next year is that up in the East Coast.
Yep.
I think that's the elite.
That's
where you know, if you get invited to them, I think that's the elite place to play in the summertime.
Yeah.
So that's kind of his goal.
That'd be awesome.
That. Yeah.
So I saw on Facebook where I get all my info.
Information, yep.
or somebody who went down to see the Savannah Bananas play.
I've never heard of them, and I seen a damn thing. That's the neatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a show.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes there's baseball.
Yeah, it was like that was unbelievable. I'd never heard of it either. And I think Bubba's the one that told me about it.
Yeah, they've been there's been stuff on Facebook for a year or more about with Savannah Bananas, and they're just it's pretty funny.
Mm. And I think that they're going to be at the Florence Yalls.
Really?
Yes.
That's coming up here pretty close.
Yeah.
It'd almost be worth driving down there.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Check them out.
You can be there in 2 hours and five minutes, maybe.
Yeah. Yep. Go there in
2 hours.
Riverboat after? Perfect.
Yeah.
It'll be a great day.
Yeah. Go there for three innings.
A $900 night.
Yeah, it'd be a $900 loss.
So just, you said.
But we'll see the bananas.
You said the riverboat, but the casino, what's the best casinos in Cincinnati? Is like Hard Rock? Is that anything? Yeah. Does everybody still go out to Lawrenceburg?
I like Lawrenceburg, but
I haven't been to any of them.
It's probably the last time I've won. That was 7 years ago. 7 years ago. So I'm on a seven-year losing streak.
Do they have live dealers for all the stuff?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah.
All of them do.
The only bad thing about there is they smoke too.
Yep.
My wife. Don't like that.
Yeah. See, when they were putting the smoking ban in 10 years ago or 15, whatever that was, I thought, I don't like that. I'd never had any problem walking into a bar, and I couldn't see the bar because of all the smoke.
Exactly.
Now, if I walk in somewhere where somebody's smoking,
you hear?
I'm like choking. That.
Wait, yeah. Somebody's smoking.
I start coughing.
It's unbelievable how fast you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, remember coming home and getting up the next morning after bowling?
Oh.
what the hell stinks in his bedroom? My wife, that'd be you at that stupid bowl now. I said, what?
I mean, you know, I can walk in and tell when there's an ashtray in the room.
You
know,
it's unbelievable. You can get that whiff. It's like,
yeah, and it never bothered me before, and I was adamant about don't take away smoking. That's just stupid.
Yeah.
And now I can't if I walk in somewhere and somebody's smoking, I think I'm gonna die.
I'll tell you what,
it's just crazy.
I got a respect for them smokers when it's 20 below zero and they stand outside at the bowling alley and smoke a cigarette, shivering. I'm thinking, man, you must really like that cigarette.
That is a guy. So do you see where the mayor of New York City?
Nope.
He put. Basically, he made a war on meat and dairy products in New York City.
Really?
Yes. He wants all of those things out because it's bad for the environment.
Oh, for God's sakes.
So he's trying to ban meat and dairy from New York City.
So he decides he does not want reelected.
Yeah, I was going to say, does he want out? He's not going to get many ice cream votes.
He made the comment. He said, well, there is no doubt that a plant-based diet is better for you from a mental and physical standpoint, and I am proof of that.
That is what the guy said.
Is that right?
That's what he said.
So it's not only that, it's a one-person experiment. Yeah. That determines what everybody else does.
Everybody should be like me.
You got to be like me.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, that would be like George Burns saying, I live to be 98 years old. I smoke 16 cigars every day.
Absolutely.
Everybody has to smoke a cigar.
The mayor of Chicago. You know?
The newly elected one?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. You've seen all these lootings and stuff where these people are going through, and they're just... Says... how can I condemn these people for looting when these big companies have been looting our citizens for?
these guys are getting elected. Oh my God!
Just you know what? You think it can't get any crazier?
Ain't
just
stupid or not.
Wake up in the morning.
Jeez.
You know?
Yeah, that's
incredible.
And it doesn't mean that they're necessarily. Bad mayors or, you know, bad...
Yes, it does.
Well, no.
That's his attitude towards crime.
But that doesn't mean that everything he does is wrong, or she, you know. But
most of it is.
But that stuff is just bizarre. You don't say that stuff out loud.
That's
crazy.
So I got a text from the Big Shoe. The Big Shoe says, hey, Fee, 64 teams make the College World Series. At the beginning, it's a double elimination. To get it down to eight teams, go to Omaha, Nebraska. I'll be damned.
So are all 64 teams somewhat randomly invited? I mean, so is it the top 64
teams? I would
guess
it's like March Madness. I mean, you about have to think that.
So certain leagues are going to get somebody for sure.
Right, Big Ten's going to get so many. And I'm sure the Southern teams and the Western teams would be better than.
Yeah.
I would think they'd be better Midwest because they're going to have more. You know, they're going to be out in the sunshine all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that attracts better players.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, actually, you're probably start. Well, I guess you can only start the same time as everybody else, but if it's freezing up here all the time.
Yeah.
That's a big advantage for them.
Every Midwest team goes down and spends the first 2 weeks of the season in Florida.
Yeah.
Yep. Starts playing paper people down.
And the next 3 weeks, they wish they were in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just because of what we're going through.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
I seen I'm sure everybody knows by now, we canceled our dedication again. Now we're shooting for what?
May 2nd.
May 2nd, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll get some good weather.
But Jerry Kalp will not be there.
He won't.
He will not be there. Ooh. He's going to be out of town, pre-planned. Family visit, I think, somewhere.
So he's going to throw out the first pitch from Georgia?
He might be farther than Georgia.
Could be a long throw.
I don't know where he's going, but, you know, they go over to Europe occasionally to visit Lori's relatives, and so it could be Pennsylvania to visit John or whatever it is.
That'd probably break his heart. I'm sure he wanted to be there.
Yeah.
He was excited about it.
Yep, I was excited about it. Just, you know.
Have you ever wanted to visit Europe?
No.
Nope.
I'm kind of scared of them places, I think. I'm just not
too sure. I was there in 1970. College, technically, it was some college class.
WW2?
No.
Okay.
25 years later. But we got a chance to take some college courses and spend 6 weeks in Europe. So I ended up graduating a quarter earlier because of those extra 12 credit hours that I got
there.
So, but it was neat. And, you know, like our buddy King Bob
loves it.
Goes over there all the time, Italy, Paris, all that kind of stuff. And it looks neat, but I don't know.
You know,
it was neat when I was there, but I
would love see, you know, I would love to do like the Bands of Brother type thing, where they take you to Normandy and mm-hmm. you know, like to kind of walk the battlefields to a certain extent.
That would be cool.
And then the Scotland Ireland thing wouldn't be bad.
Yep. I'd like to go to the golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just St. Andrews, and that'd be cool.
Yep.
But, I just don't think that's such a long flight. And
I know.
London was neat. Paris was okay. Rome was okay. Florence was okay. Madrid was okay.
What's the one with the...
Venice.
With the gondolas or whatever?
Yeah.
Yep. That'd be cool.
That'd be neat. But, you know, you're seeing the tourist sites. And I have a cousin that gets over there quite a bit. And they kind of go to some out-of-the-way places in Italy that are just absolutely beautiful. They're kind of touristy, but they're not the big main touristy stuff.
For you, I'd like to go to like the what's it called, Tuscany?
Yeah,
yes,
whatever it is.
You and Marsha should have went with Joe. He would go to those castles where they have all these wine, all these places, and he would tell me about stuff like he always said he was going to take me, and I'm like. I wish I would have went that. Cool, but he had pictures and stuff that were like Neil said. It's beautiful. I mean, it's just unbelievable, breathtaking, taking views. But he would go and visit these people, and he knew like, you know, the mom and the daughter, and they would squash they did the grapes and they did all this stuff. You know, I was like, and he knew everything about it.
It's incredible. Yeah, and you know what, like Joe with the wine to have that depth of knowledge about whatever it is that you're passionate about is incredible.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's wine or how to smoke a hog or whatever it is, yeah. to just know it so well that people
good.
Come to you and yeah. say.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. When he had the purple pig up there, we went the one time, and it was fun to watch because he would talk to us for a while, and then he would go to a table, and he would talk to him. And, you know, once he started describing the wine and stuff, well, they automatically bought it. It didn't matter what the hell it was going to cost. They wanted it. Yeah. Well, we got to try it. So give us a bottle of that, you know. And then he'd walk to another deal, sell them a bottle. And then, you know, next thing you know, they're three bottles deep, you know, and buying. So everybody would, hey, give me another one. I'll take another one.
Cool.
Pretty neat stuff.
Neat stuff. So how about a place in the United States that you'd like to go visit?
That would be.
Grand Canyon.
You ever seen it?
Nope.
I never have either.
But I think that's one of those things that if I flew over it in a helicopter for 20 minutes, I'd be just as happy as
you,
as being there for...
Unless you're a hiker and you love that kind of stuff, I can't see spend more than a day there.
I wouldn't think so either.
Yeah, I mean it's a big asshole.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Yes.
He is. I tell you, it is big. But, you know, once you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking. You know, every year our family gets together. We go to Cumberland Falls.
Yeah.
And we get a group of cabins, and we're a mile from Cumberland Falls. We can go down there. And everybody goes down there and kind of looks around at it.
Yeah.
And if you're there during a full moon, it's the either one of two places in the world where you can see a moon bow. There'll be a rainbow over the falls with a full moon.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just unreal. But we've been going there for 35 years, and you know, so at least every 6 or 7 years you're going to be there during one.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll go down and watch it, look at it, but nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's spectacular. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And there it is, and we're a mile away, and I don't think I'll go down there.
It's
stupid.
I was like when people talk about tractor pulls here and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know the tractor pulls? I remember going to I'd go to classes, you know, and that's it's all these mechanic heads guys, you know, they're all fired up. And you say it's before Gary. Do you oh my god, you have the tractor pull. Oh my god, you have tractor. Yeah,
not
you got tractor pulls.
Yeah.
I park cars, I never go
in. I park cars and then I leave.
Yep. It's one of those things that everybody should see at once because it's
it's
unbelievable the power that they have and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But once I've seen it, you know, I work at the gates every year, every pole.
Yep.
And except for Art Arfons, I don't think I ever turned around to look at a tractor.
Milton Bergman?
That was, well, I wasn't working at Gates then, but yeah, I made sure I got to see Milton Bergman.
Yeah,
that was 40 years ago. You know,
that's so. How about Lake Tahoe?
Lake Tahoe, good.
We talked about doing that.
Yep, I'd like to see that.
See that one time.
Some of those dams, Golden Gate Bridge, but, you know, flying over them in a helicopter would be just fine, and, you know, just take a three-day tour of the U.S. in a helicopter, and I'd be... happy as could be.
San Francisco is like a nut city right now that I wouldn't want to go visit. But it has some neat stuff like Alcatraz, the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
All the hills.
The hills. I mean,
crazy it's streets.
Beautiful.
That's wine country too, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's an hour from Napa Valley.
Yeah. That would be cool.
And from what I understand, an apartment twice the size of this room is $5,000 a month. You have to be a millionaire to live there. The people that work there in San Francisco, if you're not a tech billionaire, if you're just a regular real person, you have to live somewhere else, and you have to drive there to work. It's stupid.
Teachers and nurses, can't live there because they can't afford to.
Yeah, and. You know, just about anybody that isn't a millionaire. I don't know where all this money is coming from all these people, but a lot of people have a whole bunch of money that I don't know where it comes from. But
I know Digger Don's boy lived there for a while. He was working at some company out there, and he stayed there. And I think they even may have helped him.
Yeah.
With some of it. I mean, pay half his.
Yeah. So he could stay there. So he could afford to have a an apartment where the kitchen wasn't also the bedroom.
Yes.
Or the toilet wasn't beside the refrigerator.
Digger, I think Digger went out to that. It was quite expensive, I think.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It's crazy.
But a lot of neat stuff to see, too.
Yeah. New York City, I've been there. That was neat. Washington, D.C., I'd like to go see some of that stuff. But and that, I might walk around some of the things. And,
yeah. I've never seen New York. I like to go to New York.
That's neat, too.
We went, me and my sister Barb and Mom and Dad. And Dad's driving. And we got to.
So how old are you? Are you in high school?
Yeah. I think I was probably a freshman or something like that. And Barbie was, she was probably teaching at the time. But she happened to be home, and we went. It was us four went on this family trip. And we went to Niagara Falls and did that, and then we were going to go to New York. So Dad had in his mind he was going to stop like 20 miles short of New York or whatever and then take the tour or something. We'd take a tour in and see. Well, we got in the traffic, and he couldn't get out of the traffic. And the next thing I know, we're in New Jersey. We ended up staying in New Jersey and went to Philadelphia the next day. He said, we ain't going to
close
New York.
Enough.
That's close enough. You've seen it. We drove by it.
Missed it.
That's as close as I got to New York.
Well, I got, this would have been 30 years ago. There were six of us that got on an airplane. Flew to New York and got on the airplane about 5 in the morning, flew to New York, watched the Reds play, and flew back that night.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and so Ralph Ranley was one of them. He had a buddy that he was with in the when he was in the service over in Germany, and this guy was now an Army recruiter in New York City. So he was able to borrow the recruiter van, the 9-10 passenger van, and so he drove us around. We went through downtown. We got to see from a distance and from the base of it, Empire State Building, the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Drove past Statue of Liberty. Got to see that. Went to a game at Shea Stadium. We went to Coney Island afterwards, and went back to the airport and flew home.
Call her day.
20 hours. From that's Fort Recovery to New York and back.
When I went to New York, so Jordan was probably about a sixth grader, which would make Ashley like eighth grade and Erica a junior in high school. And Jordan was really into like videotaping stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And he had this camera, and he taped everything on that. Which meant that every time the girls turned around, Jordan had this camera in there. And I have never heard one kid called so many names in about a three-day
period.
Took a beat. And he would pay no attention to where he'd walk into traffic. But
so he's just like people today with their phones.
Yes, without a doubt.
Exactly.
But it was a really good trip, and the kids love it, and it's still a place that each of them would love to go back to. So
I'd like to do that. I'd like to see Ground Zero too. I think that's
would they like Jordan to go along with them and film everything?
I would say he would definitely come back with that video camera stuck someplace else that he didn't
probably
start
didn't
it out
want
with.
It either.
That was
so
that
in
was
his cool. suitcase.
Yes.
Yeah.
You think about it. Like now, yeah, with the phones, you know, they videotape everything.
Yes.
But think about back when our kids were little.
Oh, my
God. I had that big monster.
Oh.
It weighed 400 pounds. You had to throw it on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And they could never
you look like a TV crew.
Oh, yeah. And and you were always doing this over the mic. Because when I talk, I move around. And I was the worst taper of all time. No, I was the second worst because my wife was the worst taper of all time. Why are we watching the ceiling? Well, I don't know. I must not have turned it off.
It's like, what the heck? If like we go back another generation, my dad was the was the videographer in the Stogler family, kind of. And this is on the old 8mm thing or whatever. And with his, so he'd have this camera, and then he'd have this big-ass floodlight attached to it. So if, like, he's at a wedding or he's at some... And all of a sudden, nobody can see. It's because Les turned his floodlight on.
Got the floodlight on.
Oh.
You're a little tape.
Half the video was mom shaking her finger, turn that damn thing off.
You're blinding everybody.
Oh. Well, my dad had a camera because part of his job was he had to, like if he had to cut a turkey open to send back to Chicago, show what's wrong with the turkey, but of course he got to use it whenever he wanted. So we had a lot of stuff, but he just had a little, maybe 6x8, 2 or 3 inches wide, and it didn't have lights, so you couldn't do all that stuff. Yeah. But he always had stuff, and we have some really neat, neat things that family things that got done, and there's some pretty neat. Videos he has of some of the turkey farmers and their 10-year-old kids who are now 50 or 60. Yeah. So we're watching some of this, and there's a few of them you think, okay, that's got to be Al Link, and that has to be Carl, but most of them you can't figure out who any of them are. There's one of what obviously Butch Brockman, and Werner J, and but he also had, I don't think he had any actual pictures of the fire, but when St. Clair Mills was where the lot is across from Hastings, where we built Spencer's Drive-In, he had when the St. Clair Mills burned there, but it's mostly of the firemen, and you can pick out some people, but right at the end there's about 3 seconds of Kurt Jochisch. And I don't know if you remember Kurt Jochisch at all. He was something else. He was, and that his smile, he's just, you know, this was a kind of big disaster in town, and he couldn't keep from smiling because he's just one of those people that just always smiles. I think he might have been the fire chief at the time, but, you know, you get to see that, and you can't keep from just smiling when you see that, when you see his smile. But so there's some really neat stuff in that.
So let's take a break and come back and talk about sports? Spencer's Drive-In.
Why?
Spencer's Drive-In.
Oh, because Marcia worked there.
Yeah.
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 We can do that. I'll see if I can make up a commercial for it before
we're off. There you go.
Probably not.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canoe from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Building the future starts with the right tools. That's why you should ask us at K&L about the hardworking, dependable constructed equipment from New Holland, including skid steer loaders, compact track loaders, loader backhoes, tractor loaders, compact excavators, and compact wheel loaders. Every New Holland model offers clean, responsive power, built-in comfort and versatility that helps you master any job, any challenge, anytime. Learn more. Stop by K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery today.
It's all fun and games until someone bangs into a tree or a dock. Hi, I'm Gavin Tobe with Fort Recovery Insurance. Sport utility vehicles, motorcycles, boats, and jet skis are loads of fun, and fun is all that is on your mind when you purchase one. But we both know that accidents can happen. Go ahead, get out there, have fun, but with the confidence that I've got your back. I'm Gavin Tobey at 4RecoveryInsurance.com.
Hello, I'm Harold Feely, owner of Hastings Auto Sales in Ford Recovery. Spring is in the air, and it's time to get your car maintenance done. This includes testing your battery, checking all fluid levels, and testing your air conditioning. We will also check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all lights for your worry-free springtime travels. Give us a call here at Hastings Auto Sales, 419-375-4617, for all your automotive needs.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow night, the boys will host Marion Local in an MAC game, and we'll have that game for you live on Fort Recovery Radio. Friday, it will be the girls hosting National Trail, and that game will be on Fort Recovery Radio.
Saturday, the boys will play Lincoln View, last year's state runner-up, and that game will be played at Day Air Ballpark, the home of the Dayton Dragons, game time 3 p.m., and we'll broadcast that on Fort Recovery Radio. Lots of action this week, so get out to all the games you can to help cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back with Bubba V.
Bubba and Free.
Bubba V. Livy.
Livy. She's awesome.
She was funny that night.
Oh,
man.
That was perfect.
So I had to... Now, I have her and Wyatt singing the fight song.
Oh, yeah. They did that, too.
I don't know where I have that, but I have that.
Yeah.
So, Neil.
Yes, yeah.
What year did you build Spencer Drive-In?
Built in 1972. We opened, like, January 3rd or 4th or 5th, something like that.
73.
Of 73.
1973.
What made you get into the restaurant business?
My father said, we're going to build a restaurant and you're going to run it.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
Had no experience, no desire. He wanted to do that. I was young and stupid. I just said, well, I guess that's what
How
we're doing.
How old were you?
I was 2 years out of college, okay. 73. So I was 23.
So as you look back, is it something that, I mean, because being 23 and owning your business and managing people is...
That can't be too easy.
It's like learning a foreign language.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if, like, you'd have done the same thing when you were 35 or 40, would, like, you have approached it differently and would
everything would have been completely different. Now... there's some people around that know my dad and know me, and we have very similar personalities. Bullheaded son of a bitches. Neither one of us was ever wrong, and neither one of us was ever right, depending on who you ask.
Who are you talking to?
I don't know that we agreed on anything ever while that was going on. And so it was always a
battle.
Yeah.
Where'd you come up with the big chief?
Indian. What we did, my father got the idea from going down to Vince in the colony
down in Greenville,
and those are Fort Recovery people. So before we opened, I spent 6 weeks down there working with them, so I knew what was going on, and they came up and helped us for a couple of weeks. They had the dandy boy, and they had the junior dandy, which is exactly what our chief was, and the junior chief. So Indians, we decided to do the chief, and it's just, virtually everything we did was exactly what they did down there.
I see.
Yeah.
Except on a little smaller scale.
So did you make breakfast?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I did that for a long time. I don't know why I did that.
Me and Bubba talk about it every day. He had the greatest donuts ever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, they were good.
It's just
sugar dough.
It was. We took rolls of biscuits and
deep fry.
And poke a hole in them and put them in a deep fryer. And then throw them in sugar or cinnamon and sugar, and that's all there was to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple as can be. Anybody can do it if you have anything that can deep fry.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Yeah, but you'd quit making them at a certain time, too. Because I remember coming in sometime wanting a donut. We're out. Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
I would usually make, I think there's 10 in a roll. I'd usually make 10 every day, and when they're gone, they're gone.
That's enough.
That was, I always did that. There was nobody else in there except me working.
Yeah.
I'd make the coffee, make the donuts before we opened, and then everybody came in one at a time, and nobody was in a hurry. So when they'd come in, and one guy would order, two eggs over easy and toast, and the next guy would come in, and he'd get bacon and scrambled eggs or something. It was pretty easy to do that. But it was. I would leave at 1:30 in the afternoon to have my 8 hours in already. So then I'd come back and do supper, and then, you know, yeah. I was working 80, 90 hours a week.
You guys closed at what, like 10?
It depend on the day. It'd be 8 or 9 usually.
8 or 9 usually. I thought you got out of there fairly early.
Yeah. So we did. We were kind of hoping to do a lot more ice cream than we did, but we did a lot. You know, we did a lot of chicken.
Yeah,
because
there wasn't.
I remember your chicken.
There wasn't any. There wasn't any.
That was about
the only bulk fast food that there was. Pizzas. Nobody had come up with a decent crust.
Yeah.
So nobody did pizzas. Now Toby's did a pizza, but it was like a cardboard crust, and it was not very good. But it was. Still pizza, so that
was
good. But
and if like you ask people now what Toby's pizza, you can't get pizza like that. I mean, there's an image in your brain from the way it was in the old days.
And it was a big production because nobody had these prep tables with all the pizza stuff right there. They had to, when somebody or you know, they might sell 20 pizzas a week, so you had to. Well, they want onions on it. We got to chop up onions. You know, if you want this, we have to do. So that wasn't a thing. So chicken was about the only bulk thing. We averaged 600 pounds of chicken a week, which sounds like a huge amount, but that's not really all that much.
Ain't that much.
And now the bowling alley's selling 300 pizzas a week.
Yeah.
And nobody could do a pizza back then. And I'm sure Toby's is doing
Dad,
at least that many.
Dad would go up. He'd work till 5, 6, and he'd go up and start drinking.
Yeah.
And he'd go to Toby's, and he'd be in there till 8, 9 o'clock, and he'd roll in hammered with a pizza. And I can always remember because that was the greatest thing. Dad's hammered. Does he got a pizza? Does he got a pizza? Yeah, he'd come in without a pizza. Oh, he's just drunk. I'm going to bed. About every other time, he'd bring pizza with him. Oh, my God, he's got a pizza.
Mom would bowl on, like, I think maybe the Monday night late league. And I don't know who the cook up at Toby's would have been then. Bonnie, maybe.
Could have been anybody. And they didn't always work every weeknight.
Yeah.
So, they had some great cooks up there.
But she would stay up there late enough to where they had baked the cinnamon rolls for the next morning.
Ooh.
And we knew on Tuesday morning there's a pretty good chance that we'd get cinnamon.
Cinnamon roll, that's big.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
That Toby's and Minor Dings, they had people every weekend. Those places were packed with people eating.
And like you think about like Peg Brett's Dolores Depweg and
Pat Hybe.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those
classics.
Those people could work circles around those people did three people's work.
Yep.
It was just unreal.
And it's neat even now when like you go into a place and you get waited on by somebody with that work ethic and so often it's the oldest lady in the
room. Oh, absolutely.
Whose chances are mom did the same job, you know, and she just watched it and it's just a different experience.
And they you walk in and they know what you want.
Yep.
It's just, Kim and I have she found a picture. It's in, I think it's Toby's. I think it's, or Ivo's. One of the two. It's in there, and it has her grandma and my grandma. And they're both in there working. They both worked at Ivo's. It's pretty cool. He's got a great picture of it.
Yeah.
And I brought it out one time at Christmas to my Uncle Bob. And I said, I got a picture. You're going to love this. And I bring that picture out. And he got so mad at me. He goes, Harold, let me tell you a little story. Because my grandma must have had to work because my grandpa must have been kind of a lazy butt and it didn't work. He said, my mom supported us, that lazy son of a bitch. I was like, whoa. I just thought the picture
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I thought the picture looked great. We still got it. Sorry, I kept her. Uncle Bob would have burned it that day. Wasn't exactly the response I was waiting for.
Well, all those Feely boys turned out pretty good in spite of. And I kind of knew. Now, he was Harold, right? Grandpa was Harold?
Grandpa was.
H.J.?
Yeah. Or it was Arthur, right? Arthur.
Maybe I'm thinking a different one then. Mm-hmm. But there was one of them that was an auctioneer.
That's, I think that's, yeah, A.J. They called him A.J.
Yeah. Oh, A.J., yeah. So So he, they lived across the street from where Gene lived for a long time. So down there,
right down there.
Cliff Wendell owned the house, and Randy Wendell. And
yep.
So yeah, I was thinking that, and there was a sign out front, and I was a little kid. So I'm thinking I saw him from time to time.
Yeah.
But
I said he was huge, big boy.
I just remember that I had seen him and Grandma. I don't know if I knew. I probably saw her at Toby's because we'd go up there usually about once a week when my dad was out on the road doing his full of pep feed stuff over in Indiana. We would go uptown and eat. My mom was not a big restaurant person.
Yeah.
Her thoughts, you know, grew up in the Depression and all that. And my dad's family, the same thing. But she always said, why would I give them, I think that was like $2 to eat a meal for one person. I can make a meal for four of us, and it's better food.
And it's better, yeah.
And it's better. So why would I do that? And it was my parents almost never went out to eat until I was probably mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went out almost every Friday and Saturday night to eat. But, you know, she knew she could make better food. And it cost them a fourth as much to make it for the family as it would for one person to eat. And I'm still kind of like that. It's just crazy.
I remember when I was little and we would go on vacation or something, and at the time, like, McDonald's had just started.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted, you know, we wanted to go to McDonald's. Kids always wanted to, we always wanted to eat fast food. Whatever the fast food was, we wanted to try it. My dad wouldn't pull into a fast food place if he was dying. And we would eat at more choke and puke places, and I'd be like, oh, this is awful. And I get it. I want my cheeseburger from McDonald's. But now I'm just like him. I want to go to those places that I've never seen before and get in there and I think, this food is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yep.
It's amazing how you change.
Well, I think a lot of it was those places made food like Mom made, and you could get that every day. You wanted something different.
Yes, yeah, I want that fast food.
Yeah, you wanted that other stuff that Mom didn't make. But now you know that stuff that Mom made was fantastic. That's what you really wanted.
That's what I wanted.
So what food, what item did your mom make or your mom's generation make that you're just afraid is going to go by the wayside just because they don't spend that much time fixing stuff?
Well, my mom made pies, and that's something they don't do anymore. You know, she made the regular...
Yeah, she homemade probably made her own crust.
Homemade crust.
Well, I don't even know if people know how to do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody
does. And you can buy pretty good crust and save the time. So
it's still different.
Now, about 40 years ago, you couldn't buy crust that's worth eating. So people, even though it was available, people still did their own.
Yeah.
But my mom never made. We weren't pie eaters. We weren't cake eaters. We just.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think. I don't know if there's anything.
Dressing.
Yeah.
When it comes
homemade
to
dressing
like,
stuff.
Good dressing and good coleslaw. Even though I had Sue's potato salad from up at Wayne IGA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
And it's best potato salad.
So is that
around.
A brand name?
Yeah. But it's a local brand name. So it's packaged like they made it up here.
Is that in the grab-and-go section?
Yeah.
There? Oh, okay.
So is it a mustardy potato salad?
Yeah.
I like mustardy.
I do, too.
And it's a little bit sweet, you know?
Yeah.
But Sue's potato salad and Sue's coleslaw.
I'll have to try that.
Oh.
I'm a big fan. I'll have to take you to Fort Laramie. The
I've heard...
Legion. Best chicken and coleslaw or potato salad. I love their potato salad. I mean,
American Legion. I don't even know where that is in Fort Laramie.
It's kind of right dead downtown.
Huh.
Yeah, pretty neat.
You know what?
They've been doing it forever.
I have heard Bubba and Fee talk about this for the last 8 years.
You guys got to go. That's it.
And I have heard of at least six trips. And on five of the trips, they went and they were out of chicken. They never got any chicken.
Well, you do get shut out.
So you have to get there at the right time.
Yeah, you got to get there at the right time.
I'm at the age where I don't stand in line for anything except the bathroom.
So is that like every Saturday?
Second Saturday of the month. So I always forget about it, too. Usually it'll be 6 o'clock. What is today? 14th.
Oh, we missed it, damn. Missed it again.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And it was funny because Dad brought me over there and when we were little. I mean, and that's how long it's been going on.
No kidding.
And there's ladies in there I know were there. Back when Dad was there. There's some old ladies in there, and they're still doing it.
You're still, no kidding.
It's a conveyor belt deal that brings them out, and it's unbelievable. But it's really good chicken, too. It's just the moist, delicious chicken.
You know,
it's,
so have you ever had chicken at the Versailles Poultry Days?
Nope.
How can a place like that sell, like, what is it, like, 24,000.
Well, last year was over 30,000.
30,000 chickens.
You know how they do that? This is how they do that many chickens. You know, like when we have our Jubilee and we have sponsors, if they donate $10,000, they give them 1,000 chicken dinner tickets. Or some, they might even give them more than that. So they get, let's say, J&M and some of those, they get the tokens. They can spend whatever they want. They get chicken dinner tickets for that, and then they give them to their employees.
Uh-huh.
Now,
I mean, are they close enough to like Dayton and stuff that they pull in all those people?
And there's a lot of people that go from Dayton, and it kind of got kind of famous because there's some people that live south of Versailles, and maybe even Inglewood and some of that.
Think about Sydney. Yeah, Troy.
It's all right
Tip
there.
City. I mean,
and you think about like, well, last Saturday.
Yeah.
The high school boys sold 700 and some chicken dinner tickets.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
That's a lot. Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very darn good.
But, they do that over 5 days, 6 days, something like that. And they have a whole line of stuff.
30,000 chicken dinner.
That's a lot.
A ton of chicken
dinner. Down that size.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. And you know, they it started off a little smaller than that, but I think for years or decades they've been doing 10 or 20,000.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that they really push and they get good publicity from the Dayton TV stations.
I don't know if I've ever been there. To the poultry.
I've never been there.
I don't think I have.
It's always Jubilee weekend. Usually
it had been.
It had been forever. It was always
the last few years. It's the week before. But now, decades ago, I went to a softball tournament there, it was away from all of that, so it was the same weekend and it was in the same town.
I played softball. I played softball, and I think it was during that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But like you said, I think it was off.
So you're not really in the middle of any of the stuff. So I was there, but I wasn't really there for anything.
Speaking of the Jubilee weekend.
Yeah. You got your
this year
dodgeball team?
Alumni banquet is again on that Saturday. Yes, so you know we're going to remarket that, reimagine that, and kind of call it like the Fort Recovery Alumni Homecoming dinner, you know, and just try to make it to where it's something that more people who are going to go to the Jubilee that night come out and
stop and eat and then go.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully, because we either have to tweak it a bit or, you know,
So let me ask you a question. Why do you do it on Jubilee weekend? I can't ever go to the alumni thing because I've always been working at the Jubilee.
Well,
so I've missed my last three class reunions.
Part of the thought is that people may come home for the Jubilee and already be here for the alumni rather than a special time that they have to come for the alumni.
Okay.
You know, I don't know whether there's any merit to that, but that's that's part of it.
Right. You were in town anyway.
Yeah. But I don't know that that really happens, and what that does for me is I'm working at the Jubilee, like the last time, whatever my class reunion would have been, so 2022, I got through working at the softball lunch stand, and I thought, well, maybe I can run out and catch a couple of people at the Legion. 9:30, got in there, not a car in the parking lot.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, they're gone.
Well, you know, and that's part of the idea of it is that it doesn't go into the evening. It's basically a dinner with about a half-hour program.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd be back at the Jubilee by 8 o'clock.
Right, but I'm still working at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, well.
So I've, like I said,
change your work shift.
I was in charge.
Oh, there. You're in trouble.
So, yeah, I actually, the last one I did get to because they had it somewhere else, but and at a different time. But my 50th class reunion, they had it. Instead of doing anything special, they just had it out there. And when by the time I got there, there wasn't a soul around.
Well, I helped out with you guys there a few years, and my baseball always conflicted everything, so I quit helping. And I feel bad about that because I could help again, too. But I remember the year, I think it was probably our 30th, and we all went to Matt Chainhair's Pond during the day, and there was – it was a pretty good, maybe like 40 of us were out at Matt's Pond. Mm-hmm. And at 6 o'clock or whatever, I said, all right, who's going with me to the alumni? I couldn't get any of them. I ain't going to alumni. Alumni? No way. I ain't going. I'm thinking, why not?
Yeah.
You know? And I went. I was the only one from my class.
It's a tough sell.
It is. Because I talked to Mary Waggle, and I was just convinced that I could make that a fun party.
Yep.
And you know, still do the nice show that they do, and you know, honor the people that have been there forever, and then send them home, but keep the partiers there.
You know?
And it just doesn't happen. That's not the
thing. So do other places have that problem too, or I have no idea.
You know, I just talked to somebody who said that New Bremen stopped
doing it.
Their alumni. I don't think there's a lot of them that do a formal alumni banquet type thing anymore.
Hmm. See, I guess my thinking too was I always thought about the basketball alumni.
Yep.
And we would all go up there and play basketball, and then we'd go up to Tin Man's and sit and drink beer and have fun. And I thought. And I'd see guys that I hadn't seen, Jeff Yakish. You know, guys that you're younger than me, years older than me. I haven't seen these guys forever, and I loved it. You know, because they're having their, you know, they might have their class reunion here, and they're not coming here, and they're having there. But we played basketball, you know, and there was all those guys came home. It always seemed to work. And I kept thinking, why can't we do that? You know, it would be so much fun to see. You know, I would like to see your class come in. You know, and people that I hadn't seen, I knew them. I'd walked through hallways and seen them, you know, before. But
yeah, and I'd love to see all the people that over the years that I remember were ahead of me and some behind me that I hadn't seen for a while.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, it seemed like it always happened during that basketball. You know, when we did the alumni basketball stuff.
Yep.
Well, but then we got so old we couldn't do it, and so then I tried to talk them into let's do the softball. Yeah. I thought, well, you know, you can play softball yet when you're getting older. You know, well. I got too old for that, too. I can't play softball anymore, so I'm out of that.
But you can go down and talk to everybody, and that's always good.
Which is always kind of fun.
Yeah,
Twiddledy-winks.
What?
Twiddledy-winks.
Twiddledy-winks.
our next alumni.
That could be our next challenge.
You ever heard of that game?
I don't know that that's exactly the word for it, but you said it just wrong enough that I can't come up with the right.
Twiddledy-winks.
Twiddledy-winks. Tiddlywinks.
Tiddlywinks, not twiddledy.
Oh.
Tiddlywinks. That's tiddlywinks. It. I said it just wrong enough that I couldn't figure out what it was.
I was like, I didn't quite get it.
I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't come up with the right.
That don't sound
guys, I have got to be home by 8:30.
8:30. Well,
Pacific time?
You got 12.
Well,
still got 11 hours in.
Yeah, so mountain time.
You're looking good.
You still got another.
You're looking good.
Actually, let's close it with some sports.
Sports is good.
Sports. Okay. I hadn't thought of that.
We like sports.
Hadn't thought of that. So we have
NBA.
Baseball.
We have some partial scores.
3.
All right. 8.
Thanks.
Bubba did that the other day. We were up.
Who's that from, Neil?
George Carlin.
They're very good.
He said, "You got any scores from?" I said, "Bubba, you got any scores from the Mac?" Yeah, I'll let me go, Pete.
6-2,
8-2, 4-1, 7-3, and 5-4.
So, does anybody pay any attention to the NBA?
I don't. And even with the Cavs, I would think I kind of would like to get into it, but I can't get into it.
I can't.
I can't do it.
Yeah, it's
the Grizzlies are beating the Lakers.
Well,
and the Bucks lead the Heat at the end of the first.
Perfect.
Well, then.
Reds lost this afternoon.
Yes, but it was close.
And they're 4 under .500. They're worst of the season.
So,
but they had a 5-game
winning
streak.
We do want
there.
To make sure we mention May 2nd.
Yes.
Okay, is the
dedication going to be
dedication? And what's neat is I think they have some sort of Young Indians thing going on.
Yeah,
I've
seen
school,
that too.
Yeah, they decided they're
going to
do that.
I've
seen that on Facebook too. Yep. That looks like that'll be neat. That'll be really cool.
So that's like grades 3-8 maybe or something.
Could come in the dugout and stuff.
So that'll be, so that's next Tuesday. The softball team plays Anna and the baseball team plays New Knoxville.
Perfect.
So
both of those will be on Fort Recovery Radio.
Yep. Rob's still coming over? Or is, we
I don't know
time.
Yet.
So how are both of them when they both start at the same time? Or don't they?
They
do.
Do you know they play on different diamonds?
Yeah, but, I mean, do you have... And that's outside ball 3. That's inside ball 1. So you got two games going on at the same time.
Yeah, but they don't say that over the PA. They just announced the batters.
But you said that both games would be on...
Stream 2. Okay.
So we have Sports Stream 2.
We
you go to FortRecoveryRadio.com and click on Sports Stream 2. Now,
you should know that.
The regular Fort Recovery Radio you can get on...
You can have two insights.
...on your phone and stuff like that. You
At the same time?
Yeah, we can have two insights at the same time.
Shit, I can't talk to one person.
Sorry. Tomorrow
night, Marion Local.
Yep, Marion Local at home.
At home.
And then Friday, we will be broadcasting the Girls National Trail, hosting National Trail. That will probably be on our regular Fort Recovery Radio. We may put that on Sports Stream, too, because that's where we've been having all the girls' games. But
And then Dayton Dragons on Saturday.
We'll play in at Dayton Dragons on Saturday versus Lincoln View, the state runner-up, I believe, in baseball last
second
year.
Second ranked this year, I think.
Probably. They have a great program. That's always a really good game for
pretty
us.
Pretty good program.
Yep. So that's what's
so we got a big
week coming up. Yep.
Big fantastic.
Coming up. Bubba will be back next week. Hopefully, we talked about. I think we've hired a girls basketball coach.
Yep.
So we're hoping maybe.
I haven't
get a
seen
hold
an
of
official press release, but
I haven't seen anything yet either. So. Yep. But the word's out that we did.
Well, I hear that Bob actually met with the school board, and that's why he isn't here. Is that he's being named the new girls coach?
He's taking the job.
Yes.
Or maybe he's going to be the new athletic director.
Hey.
And the
that's
girls
possible
coach.
Too.
And the girls coach.
And scorekeeper.
And scorekeeper.
Yeah, at the basketball game.
In the middle elementary principal.
Yeah.
He's going to do her all.
Well, he can.
He's cat quick. He can do it.
Except he can't show up for a radio show.
Yeah. He's at a meeting.
Yeah.
Meetings. Come on. Blah, blah. He's been at home.
Let's see. If I remember correctly, you missed a lot of insights going to meetings.
Yeah, but those are different.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yours
are different.
Yours are that's important.
Right.
His aren't.
That's right. So,
Pete.
Yep. Jack, thanks for stopping and sticking around with me.
No problemo.
Talking some crap. And
we did talk some sports.
We had a little sports involved here. And
you know what?
Reminiscing. Reminiscing's good once in a while.
Sometimes talking about stuff that really doesn't matter much.
Yeah.
Is good.
It's okay.
Is
yeah,
good.
Since nobody's listening, we don't care.
We don't care.
That works for us.
Perfect. See you next
good night,
Wednesday.
Everybody.
You are listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and V, broadcasting live from the Miracle Lane Studios in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. We'll be right back. brought to you in part by community-minded sponsors and the sports department of this radio station. FortRecoveryRadio.com is the home of the Fort Recovery Indians.